Hello there, Vector Podcast, and I'm here accompanied with Sonam. Sonam, you are the, I guess, visitor of the conference. Are you also giving a talk?
Yes, I'm giving a talk tomorrow on metric learning.
Yeah, what's your topic that you're going to talk about?
I'm going to talk about metric learning tomorrow, but I'm very excited about what we are building at Embedded and Starlight. So yeah,
awesome.
Really excited.
And is it your first time at the conference?
Yes, it's the first time, but it's one of the best conferences I ever been to.
Awesome. Yeah, I love it. I've been here first time 2011, and I still love coming back once in a while. It's really good.
I can see why you want to come back again and again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Awesome. And you work mostly on what I could, well, we had an episode actually with Quadrants on metric learning. I will make sure to link it. Tell me a bit more about metric learning, if you will. Like in a why should everyone care that this is the thing that they should use? Maybe.
Yes. So a lot of people just think about, like, you know, we can do a check a distance and then, you know, we'll get the similarity. But the thing is, even though you change the distance, it won't make any difference because those embeddings are already in the space, so it's already relative. So if you're doing a cosine similarity between I love pizza and I do not love pizza, there's no 90% similarity, right?
Yeah.
And choosing another distance will not make any sense. So the thing is with metric learning is you can build your own data set and then train the embedding model, like, again, for giving you right similarity.
I mean, I still trying to understand it, but it's basically like on one hand you have your data and then you choose the model, and that model could be pre-trained for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could also fine-tune it on your data if you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then inherently it will have its own measure of similarity, right? So it's not something you can easily control.
Yeah.
But then metric learning opposes this by saying that you should be in control of your metric, of your similarity measure, not just the metric itself, but the similarity measure, which means that I should kind of like drop the model, just get my data and start training some new network, right? So that I can find the...
You're basically fine-tuning the embedding of model to work with your data. So suppose you're finding intents, right?
Yes.
Okay. Where does metric learning really shine? It's classification versus similarity again. If you are doing classification, you are limited up to certain classes, right? Suppose, particular intents you have.
Yeah.
It's not scalable at like a million scalability. You cannot keep adding.
Right.
But with similarity search and metric learning, you can add new intents very easily.
Yeah,
so it's not limited. That's one of the, you know, classical way to tell you that metric learning plays much, much better role at scale, and that's why vector database can scale this much.
For sure. Yeah. And tell me a bit more about yourself. How did you end up in this space? Like, what was your path? I know you worked at Thrasa as well, which is also an open source project.
Yes.
I once looked at. And but now you work for another company. Like, what was your journey? And
So I worked at as an AI researcher at Sama. So we were mostly in clinical trials. So, you know, Pfizer and Novartis, they do this clinical trials for 10 to 12 years. And we had like those massive data. And we wanted to find out which subjects could drop out of the studies. I also published a paper before. So it's well versed in this AI research and AI area.
Yeah.
And then I joined Raza for conversational AI, love of conversational AI.
Yeah.
And then I joined Quadrant recently, and I got into this embedding space. And now I have my own open source project called Embed Anything, in which you can use very different multimodal sources, unstructured sources, PDFs, MD, and, you know, you can embed it in 40x faster speed than any other present pipelines.
Wow. How did you do that?
That is Rust. It's all available. It's all open source because I'm like a huge supporter of open source.
Awesome.
So what we do is we have built this parser in Rust, so from PDF, while it is going towards embedding. So one of the analogy that I use most is embedding models are, they are like really, really cool. They are becoming faster and everything. But if you want to drive your Porsche, would you like to drive it on a national highway or a road full of potholes? So that's the analogy we use.
Yeah.
We are giving you a highway for with us for driving your embedding model or Porsche, you know, in a very sophisticated and like, yeah, no tech depth, you call it, pipeline for embeddings.
Interesting. So you are basically building an infrastructure layer or infrastructure for
these embedding models.
So what, as a user, what can I do on this?
Yeah, very good question. So we are very production ready, first of all, and we do not use any kind of heavy libraries, right? There are LibTorch and stuff. So if you have to embed something, well, first go on Hugging Face, use Sentence Transformer, and then you will download that 2.5 GB library and stuff, like, which will come with LibTorch and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we have removed all those dependencies. All
right.
That's
nice. Made it lighter.
Made it lighter. With the help of Candle from Hugging Face, because Candle also uses Rust, and because we are also built in Rust, it's much easier to integrate with Candle. So yeah, so it's much lighter, much faster, you know, way of creating.
What is Candle?
Candle is basically inference on GPU and CPU.
Oh, I see. Yeah. It's also open source.
Yeah, it's also open source.
Okay, so you do everything unconventionally in Rust, even though everyone else is doing it in Python.
Because it's, you know, multi-threading is like so much embedded in Rust. Like, people will tell you that Python can also do multi-threading, but that's not true multi-threading because the
global
Python is pretty
lock.
Global interpreter lock.
Yeah.
And Rust has immutable logs. So you can do like achieve true multi-threading just with Rust.
Yeah, they promised actually to solve geo problem in Python next version. Yeah, they already approved it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know when it will materialize, but anyway.
Okay.
And so, okay, but if I look at it from the perspective, let's say, of building some product, be it a chatbot or like search engine, you know, blended with vector search or something like that. So what is my typical sort of like, pipeline? How does it look like, right? So what will I do? Let's say I have my data and then maybe I've chosen a model, but that model is okay. Maybe it's not the fastest one. What should I do? Will I turn to your platform to speed it up? Will I turn to your platform to do some other things as well?
So we are not doing any changes in the model itself. We are not quantizing and everything, even though we can use those models. So Candle gives you a certain list of models that you can use and integrate with us, basically.
Yeah.
So whatever Candle supports, we support.
Yeah.
Whatever Candle doesn't support, we cannot support because we are basically dependent on them.
Yeah.
So if, and we are not doing anything in the model itself. We are doing it on the extraction and parsing part of the data. Like if you have different PDFs, different MD, I will extract, chunk, and parse them, and then you know build this like extra fast.
Yeah. Interesting. And then let's say if I want to go to production, but I also have some other components which maybe you wouldn't integrate, right? I don't know, my search cluster and something else, my services. So can I also go to production with your platform?
Yeah.
Like how will it look like exactly? Is it a Docker deploy? Is it a Kubernetes?
It's you do not need to, first of all, code in Rust. A lot of developers come out to reach me and like, you know, they ask, do I need to know Rust to contribute to embed anything?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, you do not need. We have built Litspire. We have like worked like for building this wrapper around Rust so that you know you can easily incorporate it with Python.
So you have a Python wrapper on top of your your platform.
You only need to know Python, you do not need to know Rust at all.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So do you have any like instances where companies have already built POCs with your platform, or do you even have someone going to production? Or?
Yeah, so I get so many requests on like acquisition part of things and stuff like that. But we are like, you know, we are 1 month old company and we have
of course
not company project,
Project,
but
yeah.
we have got 6K downloads, but we haven't got into production yet, but hopefully
Yeah.
next 2 3 months.
Nice.
Yeah.
And do you need any help from the community?
Yes. If you're interested in building the infrastructure for generative AI in Rust and Python, so to connect with us, we'd love to have you on board.
All right.
Yeah.
But let's go back a little bit. So you also said that there is multimodality element of it.
Yeah.
So I will tell you the way I see it, but please correct me or augment me. So I think a couple years ago, 2 years ago, we gave a talk here at Berlin Buzzwords, basically showing a system where you can search images and text, whatever you want. And if you have images that do not have textual metadata, then that's your gateway into finding these images because net neural networks will understand and extract the content using Plea, basically, right?
Yeah.
And so we were able to show some really interesting examples. For example, you could find in the context of e-commerce a long sleeveless dress, striped, whatever color, and so on and so forth. And it worked. And even some audience members asked us to demo on their queries, and it still worked. So that showed the power of multimodality, right? And we didn't even need to fine-tune Clip. It was just out of the box. But I guess there is more to multimodality. What else are you thinking as part of your platform?
Great question. Even though images like Clip is known for multimodal search, one of the best use cases of Clip is when you're doing zero-shot classification, right? It doesn't need the previous data at
Correct.
all.
Correct.
Even if it is searching images, even if it's searching through text, and it's like so powerful, right? So we have built like different examples with it. But coming to your question, we have like audio. If you wanted to embed audio graphs, etc. So all these are in pipeline. But right now, we are only embedding like text and images. Yes.
And are you using Clip or?
Yeah, we're using Clip. Clip is like, that one thing that you cannot
Yeah.
get out of.
I also wanted to ask you a bit if you may share your insight on evaluating these systems. So one of the feedbacks that I've
For
gotten or
RNG,
heard,
so. For RNG retrieval.
or anything, like basically. So let's say I have my LLM-based application, how do I evaluate it? Because one of the feedbacks is that sometimes it gives perfect results, sometimes it gives awful results,
Yeah.
right? So now there is nothing in between, right? Or barely. So how would you solve this? Of course, you do start with your metric learning and some other techniques, right? But there is still the other side of the things when you go to production, as you know, like in Rasa and Quadrant and many other companies, you care about quality.
Yeah.
And so how do you have any insight on that? Are you maybe planning to build something along the lines of evaluation in your platform?
That's a great question. With great power comes great responsibility. So LLM is one of the example of that. So LLM gives you right answer, but it also gives you hallucination. But a lot of people see hallucination as a bug, but I see it as a
Feature?
feature because it won't be able to like do that creative job
Oh yeah,
but
for sure.
it can do
Yeah.
without
Yeah.
hallucination. So one of the there are so many tools, right, to measure retrieval part like Ragas, Prometheus, right? And there are so many tools too, but still I think recall measure, what we call it, like measure how LLM recall is working,
Yeah.
basically extracting most relevant information,
Yeah.
not like rubbish
Yeah.
information.
Yeah.
So those things are like really important.
Yeah.
And a lot of research is going on, but we are more like focused on the infrastructure. But we are keeping it up, trying to keep it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, so mostly I would go for classical testing ways like precision recall,
Yeah.
etc. Yeah.
But basically, like, okay, you do test and you see that sometimes,
Right.
once in a while, it fails. So, first of all, of course, catching that is important, right? Before
Yes.
going to production.
Yes.
But what is your way backwards to fixing this? Can you
Way
share?
backwards.
Yeah, from finding that bug.
Okay, let me think about that. So,
No worries.
data set,
Maybe you can
data.
give some example where you have fixed an issue, you know, reported by someone, not necessarily as part of your
Yeah.
platform, but previously, I don't know, Rasa or whatever. Or,
Yeah, so I was working with this that's why this talk came into my mind, right?
Yeah.
The negation problem. The negation problem is so huge. You will always find sentences with not in every domain,
Yeah.
be it
Yeah.
biomedical, be
Yeah.
it law and
Yeah.
everything. And it still gives you the same similarity, even though you do not have to be a language expert
Yeah.
to understand these
These are
two
different things.
different things. Two different things,
Yes.
right? That's when metric learning came. That's when inference started to come into mind, because inference is very important. Like a lot of people have played with SNLI and stuff, and then they understand that to understand negation, you first need to understand inferences. So there's a way to like
Yeah,
understand measure
logical inference,
entailment.
right? Yeah, yeah,
And entailment, contradiction, and
yeah, yeah,
neutral. Two sentences could be neutral,
yeah,
unrelated to each other.
yeah,
Two sentences could be contradictory.
yeah.
Totally contradictory to each other. So yeah.
Which means that you need a corpus of data somehow labeled
Yes. Yes.
or
Yes.
logically
Exactly.
reasoned through, right? Using an algorithm.
Yes. So that's what SNLI is. Like SNLI is a
Yeah.
data set, particularly for this
Yeah.
particular questions, problem. So yeah.
Yeah.
If we tune it with it works well.
So that would be for text. And what about other modalities?
I didn't
That
think
becomes
about
harder. It
that.
becomes
Becomes
harder.
hard.
Like images, I don't know. Sometimes a model may hallucinate that there is something in the real
In the
world, but there
real,
is nothing like that, right? Well, that's one thing, but I guess there are many
So
examples.
there are things like there's a study called blind pairs in CLIP. That was done by I'm sorry, I forgot the name, which were like CLIP
Maybe we
Princeton.
can find that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they found out CLIP actually has blind pairs. Like you cannot segment things really well. Like cat sleeping on the carpet or something, and then something else will give you the same description or something. So there, Dino comes in. So Dino is a segmentation with self-supervised learning.
Yeah.
Self-supervised learning, I think, is the best invention of like for this AI
Another
particularly.
thumbs up. Is
Yeah.
it open source?
Self-supervised
Is
learning
it open
is
source? A Dino, you said?
yeah, it is open
Yeah.
source.
Awesome.
So
Thumbs up.
it's from Meta.
All right.
And I think Lee Kuan is one of invent like he has written this whole what do you call it, white paper on the dark matter of intelligence that is self-supervised learning. So they are doing a lot of work in
Yeah.
self-supervised, like make data, make the model learn from the data itself. You do not
Yeah.
need to label it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it's like in the self-supervised sort of thing, right?
Self-supervised,
But
yeah.
okay, then maybe another question I have is where do you embed a human in this process? Do you ever? Like, I don't know, to check quality or give feedback?
Exactly. So one of the thing in metric learning is everyone thinks it's self-supervised. Oh, data, it will learn with the data. It doesn't need label. But when the contrastive learning happens, who is making that negative mining pair? It's the
Yeah,
human
it's
that
human.
is making the negative
Like
and
very,
positive
very
mining
crisp
pair.
one, right? Like
Exactly, where that where it
not
learns.
just random negative, but like semantically negative.
Semantically negative.
Yeah.
So there the
Oh.
human pair comes in and like,
For sure. So today, let's say if someone wants to use your platform, you said
Embed anything?
embed
Yes.
anything. It's on GitHub, I'm guessing, right? We
Yes,
will link
yes.
it.
Yeah.
And so how do you like part of the story to become successful, I guess, is that you can map out your path from use cases to your library, to your project, which would probably be one of the components in the overall picture. So which scenarios or use cases do you see where your platform can give value? Is it chatbots? Is it vector search? Is it completely anything, not
Anywhere where embeddings are used, multimodal embeddings, my library will be like, will I want my library to be the infrastructure
Yeah.
where
Okay.
people use for different
Awesome.
things. Yeah.
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 Wow, this is, sounds really cool. And I wish you all the best in this project.
Thank
And
you.
I hope that some of my listeners will go and check out, and maybe you will even get some contributors or
Yeah.
whoever
Yeah.
users who can create the tickets. Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to see some issues, and you know, even if you want to raise issues, go ahead or add any feature, you can add it as a pull request and we can take a look at it. We are really, really excited, and a lot of developers just reach out to me, do I need to need no Rust? No, you do not need to need no Rust at all.
So you can be, let's say, Python developer and still contribute. Nice, awesome. Maybe you can use ChatGPT as well to convert your Python to Rust, but that's another story. Awesome. Yeah. And I look forward to your presentation. I will not be there, but I will watch the recording, and I will also link this episode and the recording of your talk.
Thank you.
Good luck with that. And thank you, Sonam.
Thank you so
much. Enjoy the conference.
Thank you. We'll be right back.